What's up, everyone, all you peasants? Welcome in to
Theory. You bastards and dragon seeds.
Huge bunch of dragon seeds running around.
Taking my dragons.
We're going to send them back to where they came from.
Yeah, they're coming from Essos. They're not sending their best, their brightest, that's for sure.
They're not sending the best dragons. No. These dragons are old, decrepit.
I was talking about the Triarchy, but yeah.
The Triarchy.
They're coming from Essos.
Those punks.
They're coming to take your jobs.
They're trying to take our gerbs. And yeah, they're not doing a great job. But we got to stop them. We got to kick them out because this is Westeros. Welcome in everybody to the
welcome.
If you welcome. Haven't figured it out the
by the title,
theories
and
on
the thumbnail,
yeah. Theories on series of Hot D, House of the Dragon.
We're talking Thrones, baby. Back in the Game of Thrones verse,
season 3, right?
Yes, yep. Series 3, according to the British people.
So okay. Shout out Bamford. But with that being said, you know, what we wanted to do was kind of convene to go over, you know, episodes 1 and 2. Episode 1 was big. A lot of stuff happened. We want to talk
a lot of stuff happened.
Some things happened. And we're going to talk about that. Some things happened in episode 2. We're going to talk about that. And then maybe a little.
Gonna give our thoughts, a little speculation,
a little speculation,
a little spoiler,
a little sneaky peeky into episode 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. But yeah, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. If this gets posted, 7's one. Happy 4th of July to you.
Yes. Happy 4th.
Make sure
do I have a sound effect for this?
Fireworks sound cue, fireworks sound effect, and big band music. But. Oh!
That's all I got.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. But we kicked out the British, just like we're trying to kick out the Triarchy. So
a lot of parallels there. A lot of parallels there.
A lot of, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that maybe season 3 is like, hey, it's 250 for the United States. Let's center it around. You know, there are a lot of Revolutionary War tones and themes. So let's talk through them. Where do we want to start? First of all,
I want to start by saying that I'm just happy that we're talking about anything Game of Thrones related. Game of Thrones verse, Song of Ice and Fire. I'm thrilled to be here for it. That's what I want to start with.
Song of Mice and Fire?
I don't know what that means. I don't get it.
That's what it sounded like you said. But
okay.
Can I tell you what I'm excited for?
Yeah, tell me what you're excited for, Phil.
The PB and the JJ back together.
A classic.
Making a sexy sandwich. Classic.
You can say a classic at this point. We've been doing this since 2023. That makes this a classic.
Some are saying it's a renaissance.
We're going to have to start doing episodes where we listen back to us from all those years ago and just, you know, farm content by reacting to ourselves.
My hair in that episode. Oh my God.
No. Yeah.
We can do that.
Well, I'm excited to be here too. I think this is the core two for everything Game of Thrones versus. I mean, the longtime listeners have listened to me fall in love with the Game of Thrones universe through this podcast, which I think is, you know, the coolest part. I watched Game of Thrones for the first time when we did the 3 years ago for Theories on Series, even though we ultimately didn't finish the podcast portion of it. And I've watched Game of Thrones probably at least, I would say, coming up on 10 times total since in the last 3 years. Watched it just the last couple months when I moved into my new house. Showed it to my girlfriend for the first time last, I think it was August, September. So we went about 8 months before starting it again. Watched it the previous August when I moved here. And then like the four times in 2023 that I watched it. And we did a little bit for Night of the Seven Kingdoms too, which was a great show itself. But Hot D's back. We're getting the climax that we were not allowed to get 2 summers ago. Everything's popping off right away.
It's not the queen that was promised. It's the climax that was promised.
Yeah, I mean, they teased us for 2 years, man. Like, we had all that buildup in season two, and there was just nothing.
What is that?
And now
they edged us for 2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years. And, you know, I almost dare to say it was almost worth it, like, just in regards to how action-packed episodes one and episode two were of season three. I guess we can just kind of start with, like, overall, if we've enjoyed it so far, which I know we talked about a little bit. I certainly, you know, I don't think it's been perfect exactly. I don't think, like, there's certainly valid critiques. Like, you have the book fans that are upset that it's not the same as it is in the book. You know, you have other people just upset with the way things played out and just not liking it, that also didn't know what to expect. But I would say, you know, just if I were to sit down and watch it in good faith and say, was I entertained by this? I think I absolutely was.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair assessment that, yeah, episode
yeah, one, you're good.
Definitely. And I do think there is some merit to, like, yes, they cut those two episodes and like, oh, we're going to make those, you know, episode one and two of the next season. And like, that's fine because I think it geared me up, and I don't want to, you know, jinx it here, but if they started doing that where like episode one was just a fucking banger, like that.
I mean, it's not the Game of Thrones formula. The Game of Thrones formula, I know they deviated in the last few seasons when they cut it, but you know, it was always, you know, 10 episodes, and your main episode, like the climax, the payoff, wasn't even the final episode. It was always the penultimate episode, episode 9. And that's where, you know, everything was. And then, you know, the last episode kind of just like sets the course of where next season's going. Sometimes like Jon Snow would get killed or something like that would happen at the end. But yeah, it's not the typical formula. I don't know. I mean, obviously they didn't really have a choice with how season two played out. I guess they kind of were dealt the card, unless they wanted to delay it, because it came out 2 years after season one. But it was like they wrote the script, then the writer's strike in like 2022 happened. And then HBO, when they were going through another one of the 20 mergers or separations, was like, you guys need to cut 2 episodes of production cost.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we can't redo the script to make it 8 episodes. So they just decided to cut off the content of episode 9 and 10.
Yeah. And I do think that has... It is changing the recipe a little bit, but it does kind of have me geared up that I did just rewatch Night of the Seven Kingdoms, and
I need to.
You don't realize, like, the first 2 episodes, it is just like, ugh. And like, there's some parts like I do. That's a hot take maybe here at the end that we'll talk about it. I think I'd like Night of the Seven Kingdoms better, but we'll talk about it.
Fair.
But I do think there is some merit to like that first episode really getting their hooks in. And so with the gullet, like I do think that action, you know, knowing that that was coming, set the tone, set the table. You know?
Yeah, that is also the benefit of being three seasons in. And it's like, you know, if you're watching episode one of season three, you know, the assumption is you've seen seasons one and two and you have an idea, you know, we don't need to build the world. We just like, here's the substance.
Here's the meat. We're past the bread.
Exactly. And as much as I love, you know, the bread and I try to fill big, up on the bread. Yeah. Big bread guy, you know, I mean, you got to bring the meat.
Yeah.
Let me see that meat.
Yeah. My hottest of the bringing that.
There meat. We go. What a call. What a way to title the episode.
So I do think, that had me hooked, you know, ready for it. Amped up. Also hearing my spicy noodle Caraxes.
Yeah.
Just
they've done no one. I do done. Like the variants, like they've really, like, obviously the dragons themselves look different and that's kind of made it so you can tell who's who, but the sounds are very different too. Like Cheap Stealer, it just had such a guttural, like,
yeah,
low pitch thing to it. Ashley was not a fan of the way it sounded at all. Like, she hated it when it was just making that noise when Reyna was walking up on it the first time.
Yeah.
So I like how, you know, they went, you know, they did so much to differentiate the dragons. He's got a fucking ugly ass underbite too.
Yeah. Yeah. Big underbite and just poop brown.
Yeah. So I mean, do you want to talk about like what happened in episode one and two? We can kind of like breeze through it. I would assume most people listening to this have watched the episodes.
Yeah. So if you haven't, here's your spoiler alert. If we haven't done any of that, but season one, the biggest thing was the Battle of the Gullet. Like it's set up where the dragon seeds were at Harrenhal waiting for Aemon and Vhagar, and
which is also not in the book.
Yeah. Aemon kissed his mom.
I forgot. I didn't even write that down in my recap notes.
So we'll talk about that maybe. But he kissed his mommy. Aegon is out there with Laerys.
And he's making his life harder. He would have been completely fine if he just bent the knee when those soldiers came through from Rook's Rest.
Yeah.
All he had to do was pledge allegiance to Rhaenyra, and he fucking refused to. So then Laerys was like, "All right, pivot. This is Aegon. Take us to Dragonstone."
And then the Battle of the Gullet, the Triarchy rolls up on Corlys and his fleet, and a intense battle ensues. Many lives were lost. A lot of seamen was lost in that ensuing battle. We'll dive into the nitty gritty of it, and then
there was a couple battles covered in the first episode. You have the main one, which is the Battle of the Gullet, and that's the Triarchy are trying to break the siege line. But then they also kind of immediately like deviate from the plan and, you know, start their own agenda where they go and attack Driftmark, Corlys's home. So you have that, and that's like the instigator of the Battle of the Gullet. You have, you know, Rhaenyra wants to, she's sick of, you know, being sidelined. So she's like, "I'm just going to get on my dragon and go, cause there's no other dragons here right now." I think Jace has like level 100 speech in Skyrim to somehow convince Sir Laurent. He's like, "No, you actually need to disobey the queen because she's going to get herself killed."
Have you been playing Skyrim?
No, but like what? I did a couple years, like summers ago. But I'm like, how else did he like convince him to do that? He's just got like 100 speech.
They're like, "Oh, okay, yeah. Like, you're not my boss. She's my boss. But yeah, sure, okay."
Yeah, and she'll definitely kill me, like literally kill me for this. But you're right. So he convinces Sir Laurent, her personal knight, to lock her up. And then Jace convinces Bela to take their two dragons to the Battle of the Gullet. All well and good. you know, starts fine, and then all of a sudden Jace gets hit by a it's a like a big bolt with a weight attached to it, which is also different than the books, but I kind of like the weight idea too.
Yeah.
He gets out of it. Moondancer helps, and then Rhaena, who in the Veil we last see was Sheep Stealer, gets to ride him. She's a stand-in for Nettles in the book for you book fans. But she takes Sheep Stealer back to Dragonstone right away, sees the battle in the distance as she's flying there, so she chooses to take her dragon there. Gets Jace killed in the process. Sheep Stealer's like, I don't speak High Valyrian. I don't know what you're asking me to do.
Yeah. My favorite thing about it is like the real world analogy is like, here's a 16-year-old girl who gets her license and she's got her car and she's like, I'm going to take this car home. And then like a couple streets down the road, she sees like a hot rod street race going on. And she's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go do that instead. It's like, what are you doing? Go home with your car that you don't know how to drive yet.
It's like taking one of those wild dogs that you see people like they always adopt when they see them like they're hiking in like the Alps or wherever. Those wild dogs that just get by on trash and whatever they can find. Taking one of those without any training, just like, this is my dog now. Let's take it to a dog park. Yeah. And you just take it to a dog park with all these other dogs. It's like, I don't know what's going on. It just seems like everybody's fighting and I only know how to preserve myself.
Yeah.
So that obviously backfires.
Your dog killed a chihuahua and then humped another dog. Like, yeah. It's first time seeing other dogs. I don't know what you're
doing. So it flips out, starts attacking just everybody. It starts off good. They burn a couple Triarchy ships, but then starts killing the Valyrian fleet, goes after Jace. They kind of like, they think that it's the Greens because they don't even know. Jace saw Bela. Or Rhaena, but Bela's sister did not see her. So they think that it... I don't think so, unless she's hiding it. But I'm pretty sure it was only Jace that, like, said, like you see, realize who it was. Mm-hmm. So they think it's, like, the Greens. But anyway, she flees back to the Vale. You can see her again in episode 2. The other battle, there's actually... Again, it's like two battles from the books. They kind of combine them into one. It's when we see Daemon for the first time in season 2. They're killing the Lannister army. Part of them, at least.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's called the Battle of Red Fork that we see. There's another battle that we don't see, which is when the Greybeards, the Stark army, show up with Jason Lannister's head. There's another name for their battle that they have. So there's a couple battles that they cover in the first episode, but then, you know, you said where the Dragon Riders are. That was what Daemon was up to. Then they have a good old time and they're drinking beer and singing about all the Lannisters they killed. So Corlys gets tossed off his ship during the Battle of the Gullet. We don't know what happens to him, but is it Alyn? Is that Alyn?
Alyn is... Yeah, and then Adam is the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Alyn kills the...
Lohar.
What's... Lohar, the leader of the Triarchy.
Yeah.
Who so they...
Like, just some YouTube lady?
Yeah, yeah. They're, like, a fan of the series.
Yeah.
But which makes sense. I mean, the character was fun. The character was fun, but it makes sense, like, you know... Yeah. Not like a well-experienced actor. But yeah. I also like that, too. I like if they bring fans in. Like, I mean, not like Aaron Rodgers and Ed Sheeran. Like, they were just background characters in Game of Thrones. But people of the community, which we aspire to be a part of with these talk theories to us. Yeah. That's...
Season 4 of episode or Night of the Seven.
That would be so funny if we got in there as characters somehow. That would be the best.
Put it out into the world, let it come back,
manifest it. So episode 1 ends with Jace getting his shit shot up after his dragon gets hit with another bolt and drowns. RIP. Is it Vermax or Arax?
Vermax.
So he's dead. Not similar to how he, I mean, very similar to how he dies in the books, but not exactly the same for you book readers out there and people that pretend to be like me. Ashley gives me so much shit because I never actually read the book, but I always say, oh, this is how it happened in the book. She's like, oh, did you read it? No, I don't know how to read.
As far as you know, yes,
I did. Yeah, but in the book, Jace dies trying to more or less defend his younger siblings that Rhaena and Daemon had, Aegon, other Aegon, baby Aegon, and baby Viserys. I don't know exactly how it works, because they are still, I believe, leaving from the Vale. Maybe they're leaving from Dragonstone, but the Triarchy gets their ship somehow, you know, kidnaps Viserys. Aegon manages to get back to Dragonstone on his little baby dragon again somehow. I don't know how that works. And then Jace dies trying to save them, but, you know, similar, him and his dragon, you know, end up he gets shot up with a bunch of arrows, falls into the sea. So what I was going to say when we were talking about this before we were recording, Ryan Condal, the showrunner, he addresses the reason why it's not the same. I don't know if it's a valid reason. I'm not in production, obviously, but he's like more or less like saying that it would be really hard to record all of like that with young children actors if they had Viserys and Aegon in there without like putting them at, you know, like the risk exposure for them, like having two young children on set when they're trying to show this war scene just wasn't worth the story, I guess. So that's how he justifies it, is just logistics, like, of having young actors in battle scenes.
Sure.
I can see it, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think it's valid. I think they've already kind of deviated enough from the books to, like, show that it's not, like, a loyalty thing, like, with Blood and Cheese in season one.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, so I enjoyed it, you know. I get why, you know, book readers would be upset about it. I get, like, where other people just wanted to see, you know, more or, you know, small differences, but I thought it was very well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that because I heard something and it was like there was a sneak peek of episode one and it was like just Jace's body floating or something. And it's like, we don't know if he's dead. And it's like, ooh, maybe he makes it. And like,
he
gets off of Vermax and then he's like floating there and they're like, oh, okay. And then it's like, oh, he just gets sniped. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah.
He gets the shit shot out of him too. Yeah. He's like, Rickon in in the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I had a thought and that just, oh, I thought that they were going to change it. I didn't think he was going to die when they get hit with the bolt the first time and then Moondancer helps them like get out. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to kill Balon Moondancer or something like that then.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's where they had me. Like, obviously, again, I was locked in. I thought it was very well done. But I was like, oh, they're changing it. I don't know what's going to happen. And then Sheepstealer comes in and just wrecks the plan entirely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it is so cool to watch all these dragons, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sick to just see them flying around.
Yeah.
That was episode one. Episode two kind of, you know, focuses on the fallout after, like, Jace's death, which I think Emma Darcy, the actor that plays Rhaenyra, I don't think she's given, like, again, this is, like, a critique, like, I don't think she's given a ton to work with. Like, her character, like, she's a main character, but, like, she doesn't really get to do a lot. Yeah. That's, you know, that was one of the things I heard, like, I didn't really like it in season two, where she's able to go to King's Landing and talk to Alicent face-to-face.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like, that was kind of like, all right, this is not logically possible. But at the same time, it's like, you know, she's the main character. She needs to be doing something. That made a lot of sense. But I think she's not given a ton to work with. I think she's a great actress. I think she did a great job with the, like, when she's, like, the death of Jace, when they bring his body in. And, you know, she can tell he's dead, but she's trying to reprimand him and yell at him. And she's like, how could you do this to me?
Yeah. What did you do? What did you do? Yeah. And I actually listened to the actor that plays Jace, and he's like, I laid there for 10 hours because it took 10 hours to film that scene. And she hit my body. And he's like, having to do that. and like for 10 hours. And he's like, and every time, like she was hitting me. And like, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
And you can't move because you're dead. And like, like, yeah, that's tough. Like, yeah, had to be taxing, to say.
Yeah.
But yeah,
great scene. People in the industry call that Emmy bait, you know, for an Emmy right there, which, you know, maybe valid. We'll see the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But that's how it starts. Then she summons Daemon back to Dragonstone because, they're going to go into King's Landing. He sees Alf the White and, Hugh Hammer, like, chilling outside Reyna's, like, I don't even know what room it is, because I don't know, it's some room in Dragonstone, like a library or something. I guess it's her bedroom. There's a bed in there. But Alice River sent them back and creeped them out. So she said, you got to get out of here. Like, so they left their post. So Daemon smacks the fuck out of Alf the White because he tries to be wise with Daemon. Alice also in this episode, she asks Daemon for Harrenhal when he's leaving. He's like,
So I do want to talk about that. Talk about
Alice. Yeah, talk about it.
Okay, so first of all, episode one, when she's talking to Alf and Adam and Hugh,
yeah.
And then there's the goat, right?
Like, black sheep, or yeah.
And so a thing that I heard was like, that was her.
Yeah.
And so she's Bran. She can warg into stuff, obviously. And then there was the green man with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
which they just, that's like the Isle of Faces that they were on like the whatever body of water the God's Eye is, and that's where the green men are said to, you know, live.
Yep.
Because Harrenhal is supposed to be like this eerie magical place, which we saw a lot of in season two.
Yeah. And so like her doing that stuff and then wanting Harrenhal, like, yes, Daemon wouldn't give it to her. To be honest, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, A, I don't know if he can do that. B, she's not a person. Or, like, she apparently, she's a bastard of the Strongs, supposedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
But, yeah, it's like, I wish that they would. And I know she's supposed to get with Aemon and, like...
Well, yeah, so before, I guess, like, before...
Because I fucking hate it.
I think it's 100% going to happen. So, like, when Daemon leaves and he says no, she, you know, gets very spiteful and it says, I brought 40,000 people to her army.
Yeah.
And, you know, she says, don't come back here, Daemon, which she did tell Daemon when he arrived that he's going to die there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was, like, a threat or a warning, kind of like a combination of both.
Yeah.
But then, yes, later in the episode, because the Dragon Seeds left Harrenhal, Aemon ends up getting talked into going to Harrenhal of Vhagar. So he shows up. It's almost like identical to when Daemon showed up last season, because he tries to copy Daemon, except he takes Vhagar and destroys a lot more shit and kills all of the Strongs in there.
Yeah.
One of the... Poor, I don't think it's...
Poor
son. I know, he tried. He tried.
He's like, I'm not going to fight you.
He's like, I know. He's like, it worked when Daemon was there. But yeah, Aemon's... a worse character, but I guess it's not his son, which I think they said father, which is kind of weird, but the guys that are eating dinner with him aren't his sons, but one of them manages to stab Aemon in like the back under his armor and like his kidney or something. So he starts begging Alice Rivers for help. So I'm going to guess that she, you know, heals his wounds, uses her anger towards Daemon to, you know, try to, you know, all right, well, I'm going to get Harrenhal by banging Aemon, having his bastard kid, or having his kid, and then not, I don't think she wants to be like queen consort or anything, but like wants to be given Harrenhal by having royal blood. Like, this is my child, so he'll take Harrenhal and I'll rule it until he's ready, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's Harrenhal. they find Corlys. They find Otto too, but they find Corlys. His hair, I guess, makes it easy for him to stick out because Adam on his dragon finds him. And they already are setting up immediately after Jace dies, Mr. Steal Your Girl, Adam, was already like talking to Bela because it was like the four of them when they found Corlys.
You think he's going to move in?
Yeah. I mean, they end up together.
Do they? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. but again, like, who knows? Because they're doing it their own way in the books. I had heard, like, when Corlys goes, you know, if this is victory, I hope I never see another. Like, I knew that was a quote from the book. And I didn't really like the way they, like, forced it in there.
Yeah.
Is he just sitting there, like, after they all got their ass kicked? And he's a great actor. He's one of my favorite characters. But if this is victory, I pray I never see another.
Yeah, there was something about the delivery of it that it's like, you don't sound like that upset.
Like, yeah, I'm like, bro. Yeah, like, I hope I don't see another like, one. It meant to feel like, yeah, it should feel like you were defeated, which it did, obviously, if you look at it. But yeah, I thought that was odd the way that the delivery on that was as well. But they find him. Aegon escapes captivity because the Treyarchy are like a mess and all over the place. So some of them are on land and they end up killing the soldiers that are escorting Laerys and Aegon. So he wants to go to Rook's Rest, which is where he got fucked up. I don't know what. I think he wants to like... They say his dragon's dead in season two.
I know why.
But... maybe his dragon is there. So that's what he's doing. He's going on his own for a little fun adventure, which, you know, I love that for him. I think his actor's really good too.
Yeah.
Then they do fly the four dragons. I don't know why Adam doesn't join them, but they fly the four dragons to King's Landing, take the Red Keep. Daemon's a fucking badass. He fucking kills a bunch of people. I've seen so many like thirst trap videos of him, like his daddy energy when they're taking King's Landing together, because he's just slaughtering everyone for Rhaenyra, holding her hand as they like walk into the throne room.
Yeah.
And then there are a couple people that stand up to them. I actually think one of them, I think the one that like the main one that's standing up to them is Thorne, last name. So I think he's Alistair Thorne's like, you know, forefather. But yeah, there's a couple of the, I guess, what would they be? The Kingsguard that stand up to them, trying to like prevent them from taking the throne. So they're outnumbered for a bit. The Gold Cloaks show up, call back to season one when Daemon was leading the Gold Cloaks and making them ruthless. It makes sense because Blood and Cheese, Blood was a Gold Cloak.
Yeah.
So I guess they never really like lost their loyalty, and you know, they use that moment to back up be the army, because you know, you can't really take a city with dragons unless you're gonna do what Danny did and burn it all down.
Yeah.
You can take a city, you can't really hold it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Gold Cloaks step up there. She ascends the throne. We find out where Otto has been since the beginning of season two. Laerys Strong, playing both sides, kidnapped him and threw him in the dungeon with, I think it's the Maesters that are also kind of on Rhaenyra's side, because they're the ones that are like, we have something for you.
Yeah.
So we find Otto. Daemon's laughing his ass off. Matt Smith's character's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they end up beheading him. I'm a little disappointed with the way, I know that was happening, but I'm a little disappointed that Otto's character had like what I think was an Emmy worthy monologue in season two when he loses his title, his hand, and he chastises Aegon and Kristen. Like, he has a really good moment. That's where I kind of like flipped on his character and started appreciating him, like how I did Tywin eventually. But then he disappears. He comes back now just to get beheaded at the end of this episode. Oh, and that other guy tries to R-word Alicent.
Yeah. Yeah. The master of laws, like...
Yeah, he's like, you dirty little girl. He finds out that she's flipped on him, and then he uses that as a reason to try and rape her.
Yeah.
Which I guess he has... This is not a justification at all, just to clarify. But he's, like, known in the book for having, like, 30 kids with a bunch of different women too, so he's known as like a horn dog.
He's out there throwing it out for everyone.
Yeah, but was it Ormond? Is that the maester that like saves Allison's life, basically?
Orwheel or something.
Orwheel, yeah. Yeah. He almost gets killed in the first episode when Aemon's going crazy, but yeah, the Master of Law saves his life. So he's like, oh, I think you'll help me get out of this. And he sells him out, which doesn't matter. Yeah. The city gets taken. He gets killed by Daemon. We got Rhaenyra up. She couldn't behead, which is like, this is like a theme of Game of Thrones, like, you know, new leadership decapitating somebody. Normally it's like, if they're worthy, they can do it first. Or if they're a good leader, they do it first try, like Ned Stark, Jon Snow, Robb Stark. Then you had like Theon fuck it up and end up hacking at Sir Roderick.
Yeah.
She misses on the first swing, which sucks for Otto. He just gets fucking chopped in like around his like shoulder blade area. So his last couple moments of life are in great pain, physically and mentally, because he thinks everybody else must be dead for them to be killing him. He has no idea what's happened. And then right after he gets killed, they pull up Allison and Helena. That's how we leave off on the episode. Helena's character is so funny. There's like the moment where she's dragging her down to like the city watch or whatever to like tell them to stand down if they see dragons. And they're like memeing the little, like she makes a smile. Like when she's like, I will not have the beast's harm. She gives Allison such like a hilarious, like innocent little, did I do good smile? Yeah. She's just like, she's a hilarious character. So I hate her demise.
I listened to a like kind of a what if, not a what if, but just like a conspiracy kind of podcast of Helena. And it's like we can tell she knows everything that's happening and she says it. And like,
yeah, she's a green seer.
Yeah. In the first season, she's playing with like a caterpillar or something. And she says something about like, the legs are missing or something like that. And then like the beasts under the floor,
the beast. Yeah. Beneath the boards. That's a precursor everything, to Meraxes breaking through during the crowning.
Yeah. Everything she says happens. And
she's like, prophetic.
Yeah. And it's like, but she's also like kind of autistic from the standpoint.
She's not kind of,
well, yeah. But like when the dragon like burst out from the ceiling or from the floor, everybody went like, oh man. And she went like plugged her ears. Like
yeah. But she also knew it was coming too.
Right. It wasn't like the right response for something like that or something. Like I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But
yeah, she's odd.
I like her and yeah. But her demise in the books, it can't happen because the child that she does that because of doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so we'll see, can still kill herself, but yeah.
But we'll see what will happen.
I think I saw, like, I don't know if it was a conspiracy or something, but I think, like, some people think she'll go out the same way her mom, or not her mom. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but the way Daemon's original wife did with Vhagar, where she like let the dragon burn her. I saw something about Helena like having Dreamfire burn her, which also Dreamfire is like one of the more badass dragons that are there right now. But you know, yeah. Helena refuses to mount her dragon and ride to battle, which we saw in season two.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's a green seer, so she's got some weird powers like Allison. That's why she appears in Daemon's vision when those characters never interacted before in season two, where she's like, it's all this story. Yeah. But I also like it's in the first episode of season two, Blood and Cheese, where she, in the beginning, she's like, I'm worried. And Aegon's like, about what? She's like, not dragons, the rats. And there's no rats. What's he say? He's like, the queen is an ever-evolving mystery or something like that.
Yeah. And that was another, like, worried about the rats. And, like, that was another one of those. Anything that she says, like, has a lot more to it.
Yeah.
So I like that. But
she's into bugs, too.
Yeah. Into bugs-ish. big into Bugs. She's a good hang. She's probably a good hang. Yeah, loved Caraxes just having a big old drink out of the pond.
Anytime you see the dragons do anything, it's just the best.
But it's cool. Yeah, I liked the kind of like what you were saying, that they all have like their own personalities. Like, he's a dog.
In episode one as well, when they first show Damon and the Tully, Oscar Tully, and Oscar's like, we need to bury the dead. And Damon goes, he's like, oh, it'll be easier if Caraxes burns them. And then in the background, like way in the background, you see Caraxes and he starts burning bodies right when Damon says it.
Yeah.
I also just watched you might not know who this is, but if people listen to podcasts, they might know who it is. Brittany Broski. I just listened to an episode. She had Matt Smith, the actor, on today, like to do like promo for House of the Dragon. They just have such a good relationship, him and his dragon. That's like the best.
Yeah.
They're just like the most connected.
I don't want that to end, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's going to suck. So, I hate all the dragons dying.
Yeah. Except Vhagar. I'll be pumped for that. But there's been a couple like what ifs I've been listening to, and it's interesting, and I wanted to bounce them off you, being the fan that you are. But one was with Alice healing Aemon. Like, will she do something to him? Like, get like put a spell or do something like that, and that's why he's like that. But then also like when Damon dies, in the book they don't find his body, right?
Yeah, no. I think people theorize that he like ran off with nettles.
I heard one that he is the Night King, but like Bran is somehow warging into the past and pulling the strings. And he's somehow the Night King.
Okay.
That he gets like stuck. Bran gets stuck in the past and he's the Night King. Or.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this when we were going to do like a late night revisit, long night revisit.
And one is like Damon is Cold Hands, the thing that.
Mm-hmm.
Half dead thing that Uncle Benjen turns out to be. And so it's just one of those fun little what ifs, but
yeah, no, I like it. I did see another thing where it was like that the show accidentally like killed off Daenerys because she's a descendant of Viserys, and like they just don't like show what's going on with him. Like he didn't get kidnapped by the Treyarchy, so like they're just saying like the consequences of how they redid episode one at the Battle of Gullet, like technically could, unless they like readdress it, like could have ended the bloodline the lineage that becomes Daenerys and Viserys in Game of Thrones. But all they have to do is
Viserys the kid, yeah, is Danny's line,
like great 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 grandfather or something like that. Yeah, but all they have to do is just show like what happened to them.
What happened to who?
Viserys. Because like as of right now, we just don't know what happened to them.
Oh, yeah. The little boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, doesn't... After Aegon, is it Daeron or...
No, I think they both rule for a little bit. Like, I think Aegon... I think that would make him Aegon the second... I guess Aegon the third.
Yes. So little Aegon.
Because the Aegon... And then I think he dies, his son becomes king, and then his son dies, and Viserys, the other little boy right now, becomes king, and then it goes down to his sons.
And one of those is Maekar.
Yeah, yep, from Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So they, I think they're one of the, either, I think it's Viserys' son becomes the one, like Darren, the one that had like all the Blackfyre bastards.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get up a little family tree too. Wonder if it shows who is king. Well, we can get Prince Lucerys, Well, how does Joffrey die? Oh, I know how he dies.
Joffrey's the little one.
Or the, yeah, the third one with the third strong boy.
They even referenced him? Because that
we haven't, I mean, he's in the show, but we have not seen him.
Okay, yeah, because that was, I heard something that was like all of Harlan's boys are with him. It's like, wait, no, there's a third. Where's the third?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So King Aegon the third, he's got, so he has King Darren, King Baelor, and then it goes to King Viserys, who's got Aegon the, whose sons are Aegon the Unworthy. It's so fucking confusing because there's another King Darren right here. There's just like there's so many of them.
And it's funny that it's like there's all these like Aegon, Viserys, and then it's just like a white trash Darren. Like, okay.
Wow, this family tree is extensive. It's not even just the Targaryens. It's got the other people on here too. That's crazy.
And there's a lot.
Yeah, I hope we get the. We're getting them. I was talking to, I forget what his name would be on the podcast, but I was talking to Mason earlier when we were talking about doing this later. And we were talking about how there's like supposedly going to be working on a movie for Aegon's Conquest, which I think would be cool. The one thing I was wondering is like if he doesn't really face a lot of adversity when it comes to conquering Westeros besides.
Because he has a dragon and nobody else does.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, how, like within a 3-hour movie, like what is the main premise or like what is like the main climax about? Is it, I mean, is it just him going kingdom to kingdom and conquering them? Besides, the South, what is it?
Dorne.
What's that? Dorne, yes. I don't know why I'm blanking on that right now. Yeah, so it's just I would love a movie about it. I'm just wondering how, like, what the main conflict's going to be in the movie.
Like, oh my god, the guy that shows up with the biggest dragon ever wins. No shit.
Yeah, I know. It's like, can you make? Is he going to be like the protagonist? Like, is he the good guy because he's got this mission? It's like the good guy's just, you know. It's like if you play when you play like a long like a story mode video game, and then you beat the game, so you get to replay it from the beginning with all your power ups and everything. It's just like that.
It's the reason I get bored with Skyrim. It's just like,
yeah, cool. Exactly. If you can just
90 and just anybody that touches me just dies. So
you just walk through it, yeah, like paper. Yeah. So we'll see. But anything, you know, again, anything Game of Thrones content, I'm happy about it. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts or anything else you want to talk about with the first two episodes?
No. Pumped for it. Rip Otto.
Rip Otto, rip Jace, rip Jason, yeah. Possibly rip Tylan. A couple rips. Rip our Vermax.
Ready for the Grey Wolves and more Stark action.
We're gonna get some.
As much as I enjoy Throne, and you know this, even though it's Targaryen and Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, even though it's Targaryen, give me a Stark centric story. Complete, right?
Yeah,
if it's Bran the Builder, if it's Ned's grandfather, like something, you know.
I would love to see Craigan, like Robert's Rebellion. Even
there was something about that there was going to be like either a movie or a mini series.
Yeah, it's one of the like many Robert's projects Rebellion they're working on, but.
Yeah,
most of them don't get past like, you know, like screen, like being just the script written. But that'd be cool. Anything Game of Thrones, you know, especially they just merged with a company now, because before they were going through a separation, and now they just were merged with
HBO.
Oh fuck, yeah, they just merged with somebody. Or Warner Brothers did. Yeah. So
Paramount bought them. So
yeah, so hopefully they're flush with cash and can invest in all these series. And you know, The one thing I would say is, you know, I get why George R. R. Martin gets upset when they deviate from his books. But what I would say to George, you know, listener of the show, fan of the show, friend of the show, you got to finish the books, brother. You got shit to work on. You got like 8 more Night of the Seven Kingdoms novellas to get out. You got to, like, you know, you can only complain so much when none of your stories are finished. So
the Winds of Winter need all of it.
Yeah, need you to put a little time in, or, you know, name an heir and let them do it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Time to pass on the story if you can't do it. Yeah, he's real old. I do think that once he dies, we'll probably get, you know, someone else is going to.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to come in and, you know, it still won't be his, but they'll probably come in and finish the, you know, Song of Ice and Fire books. Is that what the books are called?
Yeah.
In the Dream of Spring, there's supposed to be like 2 more books.
Hopefully it doesn't turn into like Disney and Marvel and they're just trash.
No. And I think they've been pretty good about that, especially like with the way Game of Thrones ended. Like we've talked about it many times on the podcast, but they put $35 million into a pilot episode of Aegon's Conquest and decided to scrap it because it went so poorly.
I'll say it
so
again.
You know,
give me the first Long Night.
Yeah, that's what it was going to be. Actually, no, I can't remember. I think it was the first Long Night, not Aegon's Conquest. I misspoke.
How do we just not have any backstory to the Night King other than that 5 seconds where it's some dude that's just getting dragon glass stabbed into him? Like,
yeah, I mean, they could do. There's just so much to do because they could do old Valyria. I don't know, like, if everyone's a dragon rider in Old Valyria, I don't even know how you do that. Like, that's like, imagine getting caught in 5 o'clock traffic with your dragons.
Get out of the way. There's just a fire stream.
Yeah. Hey, a siren on one of them.
What are you beeping at me for?
But yeah, I mean, that you'd probably have to do that animated, I would think, which they're supposed to be doing like an animated, Corliss story of his trip to Yeeti or something like that.
I did hear something like Corliss is the dumbest piece of shit in all of Game of Thrones. And it's like, reason number one, Rhaenyra, cheated on his son. And in the books, Daemon kills his son. Daemon also fucks his daughter to death. And, what else was it? And then it's like, oh, and then Rhaenyra sends his wife out to get killed. And it's like everything bad that has happened to Corliss is because of Rhaenyra or Daemon. It's like, yeah.
Yes. I think that the actual story that the, you know, it's telling is those are a consequence of him trying to grip for power, even though it wasn't his power to grip for, it was his wife's. Yeah. But yeah, no, the fucking Rhaenyra and Daemon fucked that family over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Literally at every turn.
But I love that it's like Daemon fucked his daughter to death. <It's
just> like, I mean, she couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she would have been a big ally if she had Vhagar, you know, she seemed like kind of a badass too. Yeah. My only complaint with the first season is like you just skip around so much. You didn't really get like to, you know, you didn't connect with the characters a lot. Besides like Daemon and Rhaenyra. Now I'm excited. We're gonna do probably episodes every 2 House of the Dragon episodes, so we have stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So if you're still listening to this podcast, you know, we appreciate you guys doing so. Any other thoughts before we wrap her on up?
No thoughts.
I think next episode's going to be pretty action packed. I think we're getting the Winter Wolves going against another army. So that should be either this episode or episode 4. So next time we're recording, you know, we should have some more fun stuff to talk about.
Love it.
But yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you feel thirsty, turn on the little bell too, so you get notified whenever we upload. Follow us on social media if you are not already. It's Treefort Gang at all places. Love one another. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. Let's go USA and World Cup. We'll see you soon. Celebrate.